God is light. And we need to understand that about the presence of God. It is so spectacular that it can brighten the entire universe so that there are no dark spots whatsoever. There's no black holes anymore when the Lord God decides to let his infinite glory, his omnipresent glory, shine everywhere in the entire system that he himself created. That happened on the opening day of creation. And it will also be true of the heavenly city when we get there.
Before a sunrise ever burned across the sky, before a bird ever cut the air, before a human voice ever broke the silence, there was God. And in the first pages of Genesis, we're brought to the edge of a world still new, still unfolded, and still under the hand of its creator. Light breaks into darkness, the waters are divided, and over it all, the presence of God is there, majestic, active and unspeakably real. On this Wednesday edition of Hope for Today, David Hawking continues our series In the Beginning as he takes us back into the first and second day of creation. Stay with us as we go back to the Bible and back to the dawn of everything with our continuing study of the days of creation. First, if you miss any part of today's broadcast or maybe a recent broadcast, you can listen again for a limited time just by clicking on the radio tab at davidhawking.org. Hey, while you're there, if you'd like to keep our series in Genesis chapters 1 through 11 in the beginning, if you'd like to keep that close at hand, you can order your own copy of the series, all 24 messages on an MP3 CD, or you can download them, and the cost is just $25. Listen, this is a great way to go back through these foundational teachings at your own pace, or maybe to share it with somebody else. Call us at 800-75-BIBLE, that's in the U.S., 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. Bible is 24253, or again, you can order the series on our website, davidhawking.org, and we'll repeat that information later on in the program. Right now, though, here's David to take us back into Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 31.
Genesis, Greek word for beginning, Bereshith in Hebrew, the first book of the Bible, the story of creation. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth a living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, we are listing in our study of the days of creation seven major points about these days of creation. In part one, we got through two of them. Number one, that they display the wonderful work of God. And number two, that they disagree, these days of creation, with the many ways of explaining origins that man has invented. We're now ready for number three, and we're going to begin our discussion of the first and second day of creation. And the third point about the days of creation that I want you to see is that they describe the wonder of God's nature and presence. And we see that most clearly in the creation of light on the first day and the creation of heaven on the second day. Let's start with light, which is in verses 3-5. Notice, please, that it says at the end of verse 5 that the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, the word first in English suggests sequence, first, second, third, fourth. But that is not what is in the Hebrew text. We simply have the cardinal number in front of the word day, which is one of the reasons, one of the major reasons why we believe they are 24-hour solar days. Because when God puts cardinal numbers in front of the word day or days in the Bible, there is no exception to this. It means 24 hours. So the word day in and of itself does not indicate 24 hours. It could be a short period of time of 12 hours. For instance, the light is called day. It could be also all 6 days of creation, because the Bible speaks of the day in which the Lord God created the heavens and the earth. It could refer to 7 years, such as the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, or even 3.5 of those seven. Or it can refer to the entire 1,000-year reign of Christ. So there are a lot of usages of the word day, but whenever you put the cardinal number in front of it, we're talking 24-hour solar days. Now, these days do describe the wonder of God's nature and presence. The light here is not the light of the sun, moon, and stars. That is probably one of the biggest mistakes that people trying to give a scientific explanation, evaluation of these days make. It is not the light of the sun, moon, and stars. They are not made, according to verse 16, until the fourth day. this light is not of the sun, moon, and stars. It's the light of God himself. We mentioned this before. Let's look at the proof. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We do not need the light of sun, moon, and stars in order to sustain plant life on the globe. We have the light of God's presence. God's nature is light, as we shall see here in a moment. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23 and 24 says, the city, referring to what is affectionately called heaven, the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God, there it is, God's glory and nature, did lighten it, and the Lamb, that's the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is, according to the Bible, the light of it. It says, the nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 25, last phrase, says, there shall be no night there. There will be no night anymore. There'll be no darkness anymore. And we don't have the sun and moon's light. What we have is the glory of God, says verse 23. Now, the glory of God refers to the nature of God, who God is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are not God. Therefore, we're sinners. We fall short of his holiness and perfection. But the glory of God is who God is and also how God reflects his power and nature. Turn, please, in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John 1, beginning at verse 5, we learn that God is light. Now, there's a sense in which this is a metaphor, because light will represent righteousness and darkness will represent sin. But I want everyone here in the audience to understand that it is not simply a metaphor illustrating righteousness. That God, in fact, is light. Literal, physical, visible light. He is not merely light. He is not merely love. And the Bible says God is love. But God is light. And we need to understand that about the presence of God. There's no black holes anymore. When the Lord God decides to let his infinite glory, his omnipresent glory, shine everywhere in the entire system that he himself created. That happened on the opening day of creation, and it will also be true of the heavenly city when we get there. Now, 1 John 1, 5 again says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So some people read this and they say, well, I think it's a spiritual illustration. I don't think it's literal light. Well, it certainly is literal light in the heavenly city. And also we have the illustration of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew 17, we learn that Jesus Christ, our Lord, God in human flesh, is also light. In a spectacular, amazing occasion in which Peter, James, and John were participants, as well as Moses and Elijah, who came back from the dead and appeared unto them, we have Jesus being transfigured in front of them. Matthew 17, 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. That means whatever is the essential nature is now being reflected outwardly. His face did shine like the sun. His raiment was as white as the light. Now, after Moses and Elijah appeared talking with him, Peter, you kind of like him here, although he's way off base, but you kind of like it. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I mean, that's like the understatement of the year. You know, we're just seeing the glory of God like no one's ever seen it. He says, boy, this is terrific. I guess it is. But he got a little carried away and says, let's make a tabernacle, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I mean, he wanted to keep that precious moment. The problem with his offer was that Moses and Elijah don't deserve to be mentioned in the same breath with our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The voice came out of heaven from the Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Verse 6 says, "When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and be not afraid.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." Transfigured in front of them, whatever his essential nature is, it came out. Interesting, in Philippians 2, 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not think it a thing to be grasped, or thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in likeness as a man, found in fashion as a man, and he became obedient unto death." He humbled himself to that point, the death of a cross. Now, when it says he's in the form of God, morphe is the exact nature. He's God. He came in the likeness of men. Did he have a real physical body? Yes, he even had a body that was real after his resurrection, of flesh and bones. But he could go straight to the walls. The molecular structure of that body was something different than what we experience. And when we talk about his essential nature, he is God. God is light. So here on the Mount of Transfiguration, in one moment of time, as it were, he pulls back the curtain of his flesh and allows his essential glory to radiate out and blind the eyes of the disciples. God is light. On the first day, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. All he'd have to do is just allow his own presence to fill the universe. This is why I'm troubled at those who try to date the solar system on the basis of the speed of light. Under this theory, the world is approximately 20 to 24 billion years old, based on what we know by our gigantic telescopes as the furthest star that we have ever seen in the furthest galaxy. So we've estimated it's a minimum of 20 to 24 billion years old, based on the speed of light, traveling 186,000 miles a second. But I think this is a terrible assumption on the part of man, because God is light, and we know that the universe is filled by his presence, that the heaven and the heavens cannot contain him. He is omnipresent. So God just allowing the essential nature of who he is to immediately shine forth can put that light in the entire system at once, no matter how many galaxies are involved in that system. So light is everywhere at once. It's brilliant. Now, there's no darkness. There's no black holes. There's nothing. Just God's light. He didn't have to sit around and wait for light to travel to get to planet Earth. He diffused it in the whole system at one moment. Let there be light, and there was light. That's the biggest misunderstanding that a lot of people have of the days of creation. Now, light is certainly a wonderful metaphor. In John 8:12, Jesus standing in the court of the women, the court of the treasury, when all the candelabra were lit at the feast of dedication. We know it today as Hanukkah. We know that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He shouted it at the top of his voice. The Jews could not help but make the connection. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So certainly it is a symbol, but it's more than that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The symbolic nature of light is presented here, but connects it with the first day of creation, which we're looking at right now, when God said, "Let there be light." Look at 2 Corinthians 4. I don't know if you've ever taken a look at this passage in the light of creation. Verse 3 says, "If our gospel be hidden or veiled, it is hidden or veiled to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now listen to this. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," that's day one of creation, "has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, what's the light in the heavenly city? The glory of God. Now, there is some light in the very knowledge of that glory. When you come to know the Lord, it's like the lights come on. You now see as you never saw before. And the way you can comprehend this glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ, in the person and presence of the Lord. God became flesh. Otherwise, we would have had little understanding of the glory of God. I'm so thankful for the everlasting revelation of God in human form, that Jesus intends to keep that physical body in which he was resurrected. So when we get to glory, we'll be able to identify immediately with him. That is a everlasting revelation of God as he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his what? Glory. The glory of God is the light of the heavenly city. The glory of God refers to who he is, his essential nature. You say, David, do you really understand this? Absolutely not. But there is not a doubt in my mind that it is so. And that's where a lot of us are playing games with ourselves, trying to figure out creation. Because the truth of the matter, it is through faith, as Hebrews 11:3 says, that we understand that the worlds were framed by God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God didn't need previously existing materials.
Amen. God spoke, and nothing became everything. Wow. Well, friend, you're listening to Hope for Today with Bible teacher and author David Hawking. And David will be back to close out our time in the Word in just a few moments. First, his son Matt and I want to quickly share something with you. This is really special. Matt?
Think about the last time you witnessed a rainbow. It's a remarkable, beautiful reminder of God's promise to never again destroy the world with a flood.
God keeps his word, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Every time. And his word can always be trusted.
Absolutely.
But think about the disdain our culture has today for biblical teaching. The compromises made in churches today that lead so many to call evil good and good evil. And the denial of truth, integrity, and the perfect applicability and divine authorship of the Bible.
You know, these issues are not just contemporary. They're outlined and addressed in the events of Genesis chapters 1 through 11, and a thorough study through the passages provides clear answers.
Matt, it's very easy to get discouraged by the evil flourishing. Watching the news can be depressing.
Oh, sending your kids to university is a gamble.
Yes, yes it is. Pressures to acquiesce and stay silent on biblical truth.
Big time.
But with your dad's book, The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood, you'll take a confidence-building, exciting journey through the first 11 chapters of the Bible. Get a copy of The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood by David Hawking for insights and answers today. And it's just $15. Your purchase is going to encourage your life, but it's also going to help the ministry of Hope for Today.
And please pray for Hope for Today.
Well, we also want to remind you that our current radio series, The Beginning, is available right now at a very special price. You can get the complete series, everything we're studying in Genesis chapters 1 through 11, all messages, and the cost, just $25 on MP3 CD or download. This is not religious filler. It's not old news. This is Genesis, creation, the flood, the foundation stones of everything God has revealed in his word. And for a limited time, you can get the whole series for just $25, as I mentioned. It's a wonderful way to preserve everything you're learning and to be able to share it with somebody else. To order this or any of our resources, call us in the U.S. at 800-75-BIBLE. That's 800-75-242-53. In Canada, call 888-75-BIBLE, 888-72-53. Or visit us online at davidhawking.org to purchase these resources. Now, as this ministry continues to send out the Word of God without apology, we want to ask you to stand with us in ministry. Your gift, your donation, will help keep this broadcast on the air and online, reaching more people with sound Bible teaching. It helps us make these messages available to people who need truth in a world drowning in confusion, right? To send a gift by mail, write to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S8P1. You can also send a gift on our website, davidhawking.org, by phone at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. and 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And let's get back to David.
God didn't need previously existing materials. Not at all. And this verse shows me again that in addition to light being a metaphor for salvation or righteousness, darkness representing sin, that the root behind the teaching is day one of creation. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. There was an illustration there of what God did. Darkness covered the face of the deep, the Bible says in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. But God dispelled the darkness with his own light. And my friends, that's exactly what happens to you spiritually. You're in darkness because Satan has blinded your mind. And some of his neat little tools are the teachings of evolution, whether you know it or not.
Amen, David. Amen. Well, if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again at davidhawking.org. Our most recent broadcasts are there for a limited time. That's David, HOCKING.org. And share that link, by the way, with a friend, okay? Well, next time on Hope for Today, David Hawking reminds us that biblical faith is not a blind leap into the dark. God never asks us to check our brains at the door. The God who created the mind also gives us truth worth thinking through, evidence worth examining, and a word worth believing. Well, that's our focus next time as David continues our series In the Beginning here on Hope for Today.